the Island Recovery Integrated Services, Paper C. I see Dr. Stevens isn't here, but I see there's Barbara.
Again, this is a sort of a joint piece of work actually with the Sally Bacon and mine, and she has the same reference to Sally because she was down on the team and about how we come to a solution. This was a paper that went to our board to clarifies what our board have actually signed off, and then if Sally, you want to say the way forward and then after that, rather than, because this is a bit out of date now.
Yes, happy to. So I'm assuming that people have been able to read the paper, which is one of the trustee papers. And I did send to you all, in response to questions from the scrutiny committee, a detailed briefing. I don't know if all that was that circulated to members.
Sorry, you
wrote to me and asked for an update for the committee, which I did submit.
That's right, and we've also circulated the letter that you sent to Hackwatch.
Oh, right, okay, so you circulated the so we have members of the committee who wrote those updates. So, since, as Bob said, since this paper was made into the Trust Board, which says that the sets out how, following the challenges that we've had with the RS service, particularly, it's needed to be closed to acute alcohol admissions since March due to some staffing challenges. We've been working with the Trust since that time. We've had several plans to try to restart the service, which unfortunately haven't been successful. And so, as the paper sets out in September, the Trust took to their board a proposal that they agreed that they could no longer provide a comprehensive service. And since that time, people see that decision was taken on the 17th of September. And in that month, since then, we've been working very hard with the Trust and with another provider who is willing to take on the service. And in fact, we are now been through the procurement process and standstill time has ended, and we're in a position to be planning to award a contract to Inclusion, who will be familiar to members, I'm sure, because they were to provide the substance misuse service in the prison on the island. They also provide service in Hampshire. They're an NHS provider who works across the country, so that's why they will be able to be flexible in the way that they can provide starters. That has been, I think, Barbara will may want to say more about that. That's been a real challenge getting specialist staff on the island, whereas the region have got sort of depth in terms of how they can resource people. So it has been a difficult time, I think. I think it's a really good example of what we were just talking about there, about how everyone working together for the benefit of people on the island and actually realising that there was a problem, but working together to solve it. And since you've been involved and supported as well, and I think they're now able to come through the other side. Inclusion will be working with the Trust and with the staff in the service in a sort of mobilisation period, and then we're hoping that they will take over the contract at the beginning of December. Obviously, we've got other reasons kind of working while they're mobilised. So we'll have to answer any questions.
Sorry, is that hoping or you're anticipating?
Anticipating.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't say a definite date until we've actually written the letter and then recorded the contract, and then we'll see the contract needs to be signed.
But it's in hand.
Absolutely, yeah. That's our anticipation.
Just to clarify
that.
Barbara.
Thank you. In the interim, they are currently working with the Trust. I met with them last week when they met with the team, and I have to say, extremely impressed. They are clearly very expert in this area of work, and I do genuinely believe that I think that we'll be able to, working with our staff and with Inclusion, that to offer a really good service throughout the Trust. It was really impressive what they could do, and also more importantly, support to our patients and clients, but also the staff themselves, but it is a very bespoke area of work.
Well, Barbara, I think the endorsement. John.
Thank you, Chairman. Actually, that was part of my question, because I was very concerned that if the Trust was pulling out of something, that the new organisation is actually taking on, that are we going to be able to hold more information about the organisation that will be taking on this thing from the 31st of March, I presume, that it's not that long, almost the same time as we've decided on the European Common Market, really.
Okay, well, you speak that. So it's actually going to be sooner than March, it's going to be December. We've been having conversations with inclusion throughout the process because, as I say, we're very familiar with their work in Hampshire. And I would endorse what Bob said, which is why we've had conversations with them, because they provide very good service in Hampshire and also in the prison. And you're right, it is a short period of time, but as Bob says, they're an extremely experienced provider and they have done this before. I think it's fair to say they've sent very comprehensive plans in an extremely short period of time that set out exactly how they're going to take on this challenge. So we're confident that this will be a good outcome.
Just one thing, Chairman, if I may, just before. I don't want this to end up the same way as we did with transportation to the mainland, with rushing around like headless chicken, trying to find an organisation who was prepared to take on the buses and this sort of thing. So if we could sort of find out and actually have a fixed programme of what it's going to look like come 31st of March, I'd be very grateful.
You'd like some tangible reassurance, John.
So we have all that. We have, because we've done a procurement process, so there was a service specification, and inclusion have responded to the tender and set out the service that they're going to provide, and obviously we evaluated that and just gone through all the due diligence. So we know exactly what service we're going to be going to provide. And I can assure you that the public health team, as the commissioners of each service, will be monitoring that and making sure that the contract is delivered and looking at performance measures and quality assurance, which is exactly what I do with my team in Hampshire. We'll be doing the same thing to make sure that you are getting the service that we are commissioning and paying for.
Lovely, thank you very much.
That's good. Right. I've got Joanna next, then Carl, then Rodney.
Thank you. I think there are a couple of issues here. So, one, and most importantly, we can't underestimate the effect that this loss of service has had on people, local people on the island. We know that people have been severely affected because they are struggling with alcohol dependency, some of whom have not been able to access mental health services because they're currently drinking. We know that pregnant women who drink haven't had this service to support them since March. And we know, because someone has contacted us, that's attempted suicide because there hasn't been a service in place. So first and foremost, it's had a huge impact on people. And the second issue is around communication, back to communication. The issue started in March. GPs weren't informed about this until June, and that's 3 months. GPs were still referring people to this service in that time when there wasn't a service. The voluntary sector were not informed that there was an issue for many months after that. They could have stepped up and provided additional support for people. Some of the voluntary sector agencies won't support people that are currently drinking or who are intoxicated. Yeah. That's their criteria. If they'd known there wasn't this service, they could have stepped up and reviewed their threshold for accepting new referrals. So a lot could have been done to support people, but we wasted that opportunity because of poor communication. And it's really important that things are done now, so we don't wait until the new service in March, but we look at things now to support people, because people are still struggling with alcohol dependency today.
Right. Sally, so we've got a real concern on lack of focus and urgency on this issue.
So, I mean, I accept that the lack of a service has had an impact on people. I mean, I think you could always say that. And I think just to point out that the service is closed to acute admissions, alcohol admissions only. The rest of the service was functioning. And we saw regular assurance from the Trust about people that were still in the service and that they were safe and receiving some treatment. Obviously, it was not the full service that was commissioned. I mean, we've all accepted that. My understanding was that communication was put out about the issues, but I can't honestly say the date, so I will have to go back and check that. But I don't know, Barbara, do you want to? But just in terms of waiting, just to say the reason that we've taken the approach that we've taken with this new provider is that this was the fastest way that we could get somebody in to take over the service and provide a comprehensive service. You've heard from Barbara, who's already met the new provider, her views of them. And my particular wish to do things this way, when the Trust informed us they could no longer provide the service, was because this means that during this whole period now, inclusion are in working with the Trust already. So if we'd done another process, we would have had a hiatus of 3 months with no one in there supporting the Trust. And I think we'll find that inclusion will be very supportive during this mobilisation period of the Trust and of the staff that are already there. But I don't have a date to give you about when they will reopen to the commission. But if there's more we can do in the meantime with communications, then we should do. So, yeah.
Thank you. Again, on behalf of the Trust, I'd like to sincerely apologise. It wasn't right. We did get into a problem. The problem with some of the delay was that we had staff, we have 28 staff that cover the service, and that's including drugs as well as alcohol. We had some people go off sick, think they'd come back, and then they came back and went off again. We managed to live along with the heroic efforts of our staff. There's no question of that. But I also wanted to accept that we didn't give the service that we should have done. I can't stress enough, I mean, having met with them, inclusion, they are really keen to start opening up to new referrals now. And again, I think we, the Trust, is working really in partnership with them. If this goes how it certainly looks like it is, this really will be an excellent process and a good example of how you can do things when you work collectively rather than that's commission's job and that's the provider's job. Because at the moment, I think we, again, team feel sort of a bit more settled having met conclusion of what they can do and the support that they can have. And I do think quite quickly we will start to see the benefits of this. But I would like to stress how sorry I am that we got ourselves into the best position and the delay at all before it was addressed.
Carl.
Thank you. I'm contemplating quite a lot. This is an area that I know a lot about, drugs and alcohol. I was the coordinator, drugs, schools, drugs, alcohol, tobacco advisor for Kent Council for a long time. So it's a failure. It's a huge failure. But the failure starts before this failure. The failure starts when you merge two alcohol services on the Isle of Wight into one drug and alcohol services. And you end up with a single provider. And then when that single provider goes wrong, you have absolutely nothing. And then the NHS fail to respond and bring this to light much sooner than it should have been. So staffing is an issue. I accept that staffing is an issue right across the whole sector because it's a difficult area to work in. And I know that because I've worked with Kenwood Trust and all different kinds of agencies on the mainland of Kent. So the failure is in here is in actually bringing this out before now. And to those people, we don't even know, unless you're going to tell me otherwise now, how many people would have been referred to acute services, what has happened to those people during these 6 months, what's happened to them? Okay. Do we know? Has anybody picked them up? Has anybody died as a result of not being referred? Do we know that?
Yes.
OK. Yeah, well, that's, you know, but this committee doesn't know that. It's only just being brought to you now. So, yes, I'm cross. So, this is actually not the first time, though, is it? Because we've got a similar thing happening with our autism services where things are not brought to the forefront until too late. We need to have an earlier intervention system. When things start to go wrong, we need to know that things are going wrong. I mean, you know, we talk about services in decline. You know, I've heard about the health check nurses also going, also being removed from services. What happens to those 1,000 people here that are evaluated by them? And that's through the Chamber of Commerce. So, but I don't want to deviate from that. What I'm saying is, I would not let you off your contracts. I really wouldn't. So I want to know, why are you dipping out? Why are the NHS dipping out? Saying, well, somebody else can do it better. Okay. But that shouldn't be the case. And it certainly shouldn't be phased out in such a short period of time. It should be a longer period of time. So for me, it's the NHS losing services again. Okay. Stepping back, bringing in a provider, a private provider. Having said that, I saw the Kenwood Trust do a very good job in Kent, okay, which is a different type of provider but similar to yours. So that's kind of how I feel about it, and I just wanted to express that.
Thank you.
What's happened with those people who should have been referred. How many people have been referred? I want to know. And what's happening with them now?
And I think maybe sort of respond to that, is it maybe?
So first I just want to echo what Barbara said, and we said this at our trip forward, and I'll continue to say that I am profoundly sorry that this service has found itself in a difficult position that it has been in. I can't talk about what happened previously to the services being merged into one. I know that frustrates councillors, but I can only really account for what happened since I've been at the Trust, which is from May 2017. This service first became, and this service was rated by the CQC in 2014 as a good service. So it wasn't a service that was on our radar when I first got to the Trust in May 2017. However, in February this year, myself and Barbara were asked to go and meet with the staff as they were concerned they had 3 vacancies and they were finding it increasingly difficult to fill those 3 posts. Now, 3 out of 28 staff was putting pressure on those other workers in relation to receiving the training and the updates that they required. Sadly, that team then suffered from some very serious sickness issues, not short-term sickness, but long-term sickness. So the action plan that we had in place in February, by March, didn't seem that it was going to be such a quick solution. Subsequent to March, the staffing situation deteriorated even further. We ended up with three members of staff, 3 vacancies, and we had 8 members of staff off sick. 50% of the staff who were off sick with long-term sickness. And then, as of course we've talked about in this committee before, once you start to put members of staff under the workload and the strains that you're then asking of the remaining staff, we saw sickness from a short-term perspective going up. So that was when we made the decisions to cease accepting new referrals to our drugs, to our alcohol services. What was very difficult at that point, and I know we're going to thank Dr. Baker for the work that she's done with us, is it was almost impossible to quantify the amount of patients who were truly alcohol-dependent patients that were being referred to the service. We found that service had become a catch-all for anybody that had any kind of alcohol-related issues. So we were finding there were patients on the caseload who were no longer receiving acute support for alcohol dependency, but were labelled as alcohol patients who are now homeless or living in temporary accommodation or were struggling with their benefits. So we were finding it very difficult to quantify actually what the true need was. Now I apologise for that, but that is very truthful account of what we found at that time. We've worked with our commissioners and with our GPs to inform them that we could no longer take those patients. And as far as I'm aware, our GPs have been making referrals elsewhere when they've been able to do so. So I'm going to talk in my report a little bit later about the work that we're doing about our strategies. So I won't cover up all of that now. But what is really, and the autism situation, although very similar and very sad for our local community, has a slightly different, was a different causal factor. But while we run the services on the island, where you depend on 28 members of staff, 14 looking after drugs, 14 looking after alcohol dependencies, it is subscale. And while we've got those issues, we build it from time to time, run into difficulties like this, and I'll pick up some of that strategy work in my paper of a major.
Yes, please, Maggie. Is it fair to say that under your current internal scrutiny and contextual reporting systems, this issue might have been brought up earlier now?
I'm not quite sure it would, John, because when we first became aware of the vacancies in that service, we created an action plan. But because of the subscale service, it tickled over very quickly. I think we would identify it, and at the end, were we wrong in trying to do all the heroic attempts at keeping it going? I'm not quite sure we were at that time. I think if we had come here 2 months after we got into difficulties and said, you know what, we might need to put the white flag out, I think you'd have all said to me, hang on, you've only been trying for 2 months, what more can you do? So we went back, and I also, one of the things I forgot to say, Carl, is inclusion, and this was another very difficult thing for me, because you know, I'm fiercely loyal to the NHS. Inclusion is an NHS organisation, so I don't feel it's true to suggest that we're actually taking away our service from the NHS. Inclusion is another NHS organisation that's got a particular strong reputation in these services.
Okay. Okay.
May I come back? Please.
Right. Oh.
So I was just going to clarify
Thank you for clarifying that, because I think that's important. I mean, I'm still not really getting to where I really want. I accept that if you reach a crisis point in any service, then you have to protect the workers and you have to close the doors. But there needs to be a plan. And this is what I'm saying, that's why I'm comparing it to autism, because they're completely different, is that there is not a plan in place to address the needs of those who are at crisis at that point. It's just stopped, left. So I'm saying, what's happened to those people and why, in the future, there needs to be a plan. You cannot just close the doors, even though I understand why you did it. That's my point.
Right.
Can I just explain? Please. Where still we have a referral to internet system, if it was noted that there was a really serious issue, the doors weren't actually shut. So if it was a really urgent case, then the system would actually still take that. That's correct, isn't it?
Well, that's not what we've been told, so again, that's helping
that's
the clarity.
But that is the fact that if it was an urgent case,
they were being referred. I spoke to HMP very recently that said the only way he could refer someone was when they physically collapsed and were admitted as an emergency to St Mary's, and that was the only route he could take to get them some detox support.
I think what would be useful for us is if that information from Health Watch was given to us and we can look into that. Because as the commissioners, we need to make sure that the whole process has been reported to us. But I know that communication has been quite high to make sure that we could give as much public attention as possible.
So
the doors weren't just shut.
Well, this is really constructive scrutiny, so we're finding out things aren't quite what they should do, so that's really good feedback to take.
I just wanted to, just picking up on your point about it being too fast to turn over to the new things. Somebody said that it was too quick to take things out of the NHS and put a new provider and it should take longer.
The transition period, yes.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point because I suppose, firstly, just to say that this is another NHS. And yes, it won't be a service provided by the trust, but it will be the same staff, plus more staff. One of the reasons for wanting to get this new provider in quickly is so that we can actually address all the things that people are raising here and get the service fully up and running and open. If we were to wait another 6 months for that closing, we wouldn't have a functional service while we waited. So I think I've been pushing for that to happen as quickly as the new provider feels that they, you know, they can get things in place. So maybe I'm answering your question, but I'm just not sure why you want it to sort of drag on a little bit longer.
But that's not what I'm suggesting. I totally accept what you're saying. It needs to be. What I was really getting at there is that this has all happened really, really, really quickly without very much notice from the public. And so I'm basically, I'm saying is we're not letting our NHS people just jump off the boat yet until it's fully integrated over a longer period of time. That's what I'm saying. But what really concerns me, let's just come out there, is that it seems that some people have collapsed and being taken seriously ill as a result. Now that is not acceptable.
Thank you for making that point, Carl. Mary?
Yeah, I just again trying to clarify. We did communicate that the service had closed to new referrals, so that's actually correct. However, if somebody presented at our ED department, as if they presented now, with any kind of life-threatening illnesses, whether it be acute illnesses or whether it be mental health issues related, then we have other teams of psychiatrists and mental health trained practitioners who would endeavour to support them. As you know, during last winter, joint over in our, which lasted until early summer, we had an alcohol team that were based in our ED department. So we did have other people that we could rightly suggest to our GPs that you can refer to ED and there'll be people there that can help them, and we will continue to do that. So we don't want, I don't want the message to go out to our public tonight, and I know MedServe has been discussed before at our trust board. We would still say to people in distress, if you can't get support from your general practitioner and you feel that you really need to, then we will be able to support you through our emergency call.
I think what this committee is asking for is, some people would say that the meaning of communication is how it's received, and there's clearly some sort of breakdown, because we're told from Health Watch that this isn't what's happening in practice. So I think what this committee would like to receive as soon as possible is some tangible reassurance that the message, because these are very vulnerable people, and quite rightly, we all share a common concern about it. So is that okay?
Yes, John, we can work together and we can produce that, but again, for clarity, I'd like to just remind people, not everybody with an alcohol dependency would be referred to that service anyway. A GP, the first port of call, will make appropriate decisions on the scale of their ability to help that individual and what needs to be referred on as well. So it's not that there's been no support for patients. We have a small service on the island that's not been able to accommodate new referrals since March.
Sorry. No. I'm sorry to keep coming out there. I think the point that I'm really making is that where I accept that at the point of collapse where people go in, my point is that some of these people could be prevented from collapse if they have access to the service prior to that, and that brings a responsibility back to us and the provider of the service, which in this case is the NHS, because that service was prevented. So whilst I want, sorry, not prevent, well, yeah, it was closed, the service was closed. So what I want to say is that whilst we've got the services there, and if anybody's in desperate, I want the message to go out that you're still open for business. But it's not good in between. We're about prevention, you know, and the GPs, if I'm hearing that GPs are not sure about referral, that's what's been said over there, we need to clarify that as soon as possible so that people are clear about what service does and does not exist, because the confusion could lead to a death, and that's what we're about.
Carl, thank you very much for putting that point up so from such an important review. Next on the list we've got Rodney.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll be pretty quick. In the letter to Joanne in the health office, it says here from April 17th to March 13, 165 people accessed the alcohol support services. Is that year on year? What were the figures for previous years? And are they worse or are they better? Because of the where alcohol is so freely available.
Thank you.
I think one of the things that's come up right now is part of quite a lot of the meetings that we've had, think it's sometimes walking around the end of it, and it was that we need to relook at those figures. So I would hate to sit in front of this meeting and say, well, these many people are using the service, because we are, we're actually getting, I mean, it's through public health, isn't it? Is to drill down and audit those figures, and then it just allows us to go back through that data to see who was being referred and what were their needs. So it's all very well to say, you know, seven people referred to the service, but until we go back and audit those referrals and check that they were referred correctly, and had, that's what we need to make sure. So once we've done that, and that's going to be audited, I'm quite happy for that report to come back in to scrutiny if you'd like that in the future. I think that would probably take a few months for us to go back, and they've started the audit, haven't they, business, because...
Oh, sorry. Thank you very much for that. Perhaps, as usual, the question comes in a bit too simplistic.
Can I just say, because I was the one that actually closed the service to new referrals, it was never taken lightly. It was because there was a huge risk to new referrals that we couldn't provide a service. Again, I'm really sorry, but I actually do, I do genuinely believe it's not to let the NHS off or the trust off, because I think we will have to continue to work with whichever provider it is as a collective healthcare service for the population of the island to ensure they get a good service. And I do feel really optimistic and hopeful, having met Inclusion, that this will work. This is trying to improve what people have and to make it more sustainable with actually a much bigger organisation than we will ever be. So I would urge councillors, I take on the chin. It was part of me, maybe we didn't communicate properly and we will learn from that. But it was taken with the best interest to ensure that whatever we do to ensure patients are safe.
Right. Thank you, Barbara. Next we've got Chris, but Joan has put her hand up, so
we haven't actually conspired on this.
Right, okay.
I would like really to pick up not only the personal issues relating to the individuals directly affected by this, but also reflect back what Carl has been saying about the need for a plan. Now, as far as I can see, there are four steps. One is you have a fully operational service. One, you have a service which is slightly obstructed. Okay, that's quite brief. You have a service then which is severely unstrained, and then you have a final one where you have service collapse. Now, in my simple brain, I'm simply saying that all commission bodies and major health suppliers, and that also applies to health suppliers who are not represented here but are working in the private sector, adopt a common standard for saying, yes, we're working perfectly, it's green, we have a slight problem. Is amber. We have a major problem. It's red. Black, we've collapsed. Now, within that framework, it should be possible to develop a communication network which advises all the relevant bodies and those directly, likely and directly affected in terms of communication. It will help overcome perhaps the issues of getting the voluntary sector on board to help fill a gap, for example. To me, this is the way forward. A plan is required. And we are most concerned because we're talking about iris, but what autism is one. There may be others we don't know. All I'm saying is now, perhaps scrutiny, that we're thinking about encouraging a step forward in that direction. Thank you.
Chris, thank you very much for that. Is anybody going to respond to that?
If I can, John, can I? Because I think that will come again to my report when we talk about the strategy work that we're doing. Because it's for those very reasons that we were. But I think I'll take a little bit longer than just answer one question. That's okay.
Thank you, Claire.
Sorry, Chair. Can I politely suggest that we have a little jiggle of the agenda? Because I know Dr. Tozer has got to go at 7, and I also know that Maggie Oliver has to go at 7.
We just discussed on that, Claire.
Thank you.
Jack Joyner.
Two. You've got Claire and Chris.
Because this one's on.
Thank you. I'll make this very quick. I absolutely agree with Chris that there needs to be some protocol in place for when systems are struggling, because as we've said earlier, services will fail
in these times of people struggling to recruit lack of resources, services will fail, that's inevitable, but that's not so much the issue, it's how we manage that failure that's the issue. And that is the management that causes harm to people when there is no service. And at the moment, people are going to their GPs. GPs are not specialists in this. And the only place they can refer people is to ED if they're acutely ill. As Carl was saying, that's not great for people that are not acutely ill at the moment, but are still at huge risk. And we tie that in with hospital admissions for caused by alcohol-related liver disease, which has been pressed very recently. That's on the rise. So we have got an issue of people becoming alcohol dependent. And that affects people in many ways. It affects their housing, their job, their health, their relationships. It affects the entire family. It causes a huge impact on communities in the island. So we need to prevent this. And we have a lot of people at the moment that are drinking and are maintaining their current lifestyle, but they may not be able to maintain that for much longer if they're not provided with support.
Well, this is a huge matter of concern, and I think Maggie's indicated that she can enlighten us further on the steps that have been taken to address this in the strategy item. So, bearing in mind that Carol and Maggie have got the lead at 7, we'll now move. Oh, sorry. We'll note the position and we'll monitor it for progress on this item. But we'll now move to.
Chairman, before we go on, sorry. Can I just have 6 words? I just hope that in future, that if the trust don't want to proceed with the certain things they're running, that it's put in place, you know, because there could be other.
I think we're going to hear about that, John. That's a good point, and I think we're going to hear about that. So we'll move now on to item 10A, which is performance management. To consider the performance report for wellbeing as submitted to the Cabinet on the 13th September. Vote that aye.